I want to talk to you today about how to treat your mother. How to treat your mother. I didn't say how to trick your mother. I said how to treat your mother. This is not trick or treat. Just treat. Oh, my goodness. Mothers, mothers, mothers. How do you say enough to honor your mother? That's a big assignment as far as I'm concerned. They are precious to us. A school teacher gave her second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M, and I pick up things. Who am I? And 50% of these second graders said mother instead of magnet. Mothers pick up things, you know. One wag said the quickest way for a mother to get attention is for her children from her or of her is to get the attention of her children is to sit down and look comfortable. Darn, my tongue's still all tangled up. But be of good cheer, because mothers, you can have a few minutes to yourselves at the end of the day when you do the dishes. Nobody will be there to help you. It's a good day for the men to wash the dishes. And all the women said, amen. And make the bed and feed the dog and slop the hogs and the rest of it. Yeah. One man shared this story. He said, a woman I never met is greatly responsible for me coming to know Christ. I plan on meeting her one day in heaven. She worked with my mother and invited her to a church service where my mother heard the gospel, received Christ as her personal Savior. It was out in a small church in a rural community. It will never be featured in any Christian news story or book, but that woman and that church are largely responsible for the greatest thing that ever happened to my mother and eventually to me. When Mom got saved, she naturally wanted her family to know Christ. We moved to another state shortly after Mom's conversion, and the first thing she did was look for a good local church. As a matter of fact, it was another woman at work that told her about a good church that she should attend and invited her to come. And the second week we're there, I myself received Christ as my Savior. So I want to give credit to that woman that worked with my mom and praise her for being a faithful witness for Christ and dedicating herself to making Him known. We've all known women like that. How should we show them the love and appreciation that they are due? Even this morning, Cotton shared with me a story about a young man that attended church with them up in Burke Burnett years ago and sent Jackie a Mother's Day card. She's not his mother physically, but he considers her mother spiritually. Thank God for spiritual mothers. Amen? And what a blessing it is to them to have been recognized on this special Mother's Day by this young man. Paul tells Timothy in his letter instructing that young pastor to treat the older women as mothers. How should you treat a mother? When we answer the question, we've got to go to the Scriptures, of course. How do we treat those women who not only gave us physical birth, but also have had spiritual impact on our lives? You know, some churches are so serious about this that they call the women of the church Mother Perry, for example. Or Mother Bearden. Y'all want us to start calling y'all Mother Perry and Mother Bearden? No? But I think that's an honorable thing to do. They recognize their ladies as not only mothers physically, but spiritually. The first thing I want to show you is to treat your mother with honor. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Our mothers are due our honor. The first commandment of the second tablet of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you, over in Exodus 20:12. And mothers agree with that. I read where one said, I have brought you into this world and I can take you out. But honor your mother. This is the first commandment in the second tablet. So our first responsibility toward others is to our parents. Our parents. We're to give them honor. Then Paul's admonition to Timothy can be expanded to include our spiritual mothers, women in the church who labor faithfully for Christ doing the work of spiritual mothering. This command is repeated in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Again, it says, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. And this word honor is the word which we get the word time from. You know how you honor your mother? You give her your time. It takes effort to give time to someone, doesn't it? It's the same word that Peter uses to instruct husbands about their relationship with their wives. Honor your wives. Give them your time. And the same word Paul uses later in Timothy, which we'll look at later. How do you honor someone? You give them time. Time is precious, isn't it? You know, one of the greatest commodities of our day is time. Mothers, biological and spiritual, give their time to us. And we are to honor them by giving it back to them. When we were babies, we couldn't take care of ourselves. The other day, there was a trivia program on the radio, and Wayne and I were talking about it. One of the questions was, and talk about Mother's Day, they said, how many diapers does a woman change in the first year of a baby's life, or something like that? And people were calling in saying, 3,000, 4,000. Well, that's a lot. Aren't you glad your mother changed your diaper? Amen? I mean, who would have done it if she hadn't? Who would have? Nobody. Oh, my goodness. Now, honey, don't go to meddling. Who was the first one to comfort our fevered brow when we were sick? Our mothers. Or when we fell and hurt ourselves, skint our knee, or we had a boo-boo. Mother, hold us and comfort us. Who was the one that was at our school activities? Mothers. Holidays. Who made holidays special? Mothers. You know what the guys do. They watch football games. Amen. Birthdays. Who's the instigator, the driver, the driving force in celebrating life, birthdays in family? It's mothers. And I'm not saying the men don't do anything, but close. But our temptation in life is, especially in when we get older and teenagers and young adults. My grandfather told me, he said, yeah, you like me now, but when you get about 16, you won't have time for me. You know what? He was right. I got my wheels. I got my car. I was gone. And so take advice from an old man like me, young people. Don't neglect your grandparents or your parents because you won't always have them. Either you're going to go first or they're going to go first. And one of the two. You won't always have them. You don't take them for granted. But we tend to get so busy that time gets away from us. I'm not suggesting now that if you've moved out that you move back in with your parents, and sometimes that's necessary, but Ephesians says we should leave our father and our mother, and they don't want you to come back most of the time. Unless it's necessary. When you begin your life on your own, you should not neglect them. You should call them. And with the technology you have now, you can tweet them. You can email them. You can, all those other gadgets that you have, Facebook them. What else is there? You name it. That is, if they use that kind of technology, and most of us do these days. Same goes for spiritual parents. There are people in your life who've made impact on you through the years, through your growing up, around the church and in community. So if someone has invested in you and in your spiritual well-being, invest in them. Honor them. Give them back that time. You can do many acts of kindness and perform many things, but just time is so valuable to our mothers. Doris and I are always trying to figure out a way to get closer to our children, have them come down here or us go up there. You know, we burn the road up between here and Branfield trying to see our grandchildren. And if you've noticed that the older folks get, the more they value your visits. You know that? The older you get, the more you crave those visits. Here's a story about a man. I've shared with you this before, I think, but I love it so much. It's so powerful about a man who almost didn't get the opportunity to have any time with his mother. The year was 1820, and Peter Richley was a grateful man. He had survived one of the strangest and most harrowing events known to mankind. The ship which he had been traveling on sank, and he thought time had run out for him. He was rescued, but by some strange twist of circumstances, that second ship sank with him on it also. And he was rescued again. The third ship he got on sank. He was rescued for a third time. And then the fourth ship that he got on soon sank. And unbelievably, he was rescued. But the fifth ship he got on sank. This is five ships. This guy must have had a hole in his ship or something. I don't know what the deal was. It would be laughable if it wasn't so serious. On the high seas, he floated with serene confidence that somehow God didn't want him to die because the ships kept sinking and he kept being rescued. So the crew of the city of Leeds, a ship named after that city, hoisted this man on board, put dry clothes on him, and the ship's doctor gave him a cursory exam, pronounced him fit, and asked a favor of him. He said, listen, we've got a lady on board who has booked a passage to Australia. She's looking for her son, who disappeared years ago. It seems she's dying, and she's asking to see her son. She knows everybody on board, and since you're a stranger on board, would you come and pretend to be her son? So he said, sure, I will. You rescued me, I will do this for you. He followed the doctor below deck and entered a cabin. And there on a small bed lay a frail woman with silvered hair. She was obviously suffering from a high fever. Deliriously, she was crying out, please, God, let me see my son before I die. I must see my son. The ship's doctor gently pushed the young man toward the bed, and soon Peter Richley began sobbing. For lying there on that bed was the reason that he couldn't seem to die. Here was the lifeline that had kept him from drowning five times. For on that bed was lying none other than Sarah Richley, his mother, who had prayed for 10 years to be reconciled to her son, Peter. The ship's doctor stood in amazement as the young man fell down by the bed and embraced the sick woman. I'm here, Mom. I'm here. It's me. And within days, the fever subsided, and his mother awakened to find an answered prayer seated on the edge of her bed. Isn't that an amazing story? Listen to me. Life is too short to have a broken relationship with your mother. Here's a man who had 10 years of irreconcilable differences, estranged from his mother. Honor your mother. Give her yourself. Give her your time. Secondly, assist your mother with her physical needs. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, with me for a moment. The Bible says here in verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, we're not going to dissect this and go off on what is a real widow, but let me just suffice to say that we ought to take care of the women around us, take care of our mothers' physical needs, of our spiritual mothers as well as our biological mothers. Jesus was a great example of this. Now think about this. Jesus is crucified, hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. And in John chapter 19, he said to John, the disciple, "Son, behold your mother." And he said, "Mother, behold your son." What was he doing? He was making sure that John would take care of his mother after he was gone. Jesus took time to see that her needs were met. In light of that, do we have an excuse for neglecting the needs of our mothers? I don't think so. On the lighter side, there were three sons who left home, went out, prospered. Getting back together, they were bragging to each other about the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, "Well, I built mother a big house to live in." The second said, "Well, I bought her a Mercedes-Benz and hired a driver for her." The third smiled and said, "Well, I've got you both beat. You remember how much mother loved to read the Bible?" Yeah, we remember that. "And you know she can't see very well now, so I bought her a parrot." "A parrot?" He says, "Yeah, this parrot can recite the whole Bible. It took the elders of the church 12 years to train this parrot. He's one of a kind. Mama just had to name the chapter and verse. And all she's got to do is name the chapter and verse, and this parrot will recite it right to her." Soon thereafter, Mom sent out letters of thanks to her sons. "Milton," she wrote, "the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, and then I have to clean the rest of it." "Gerald," she wrote to another, "Gerald, I'm too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use the Mercedes, and the driver is rude." And the third, "Dearest Donald," she wrote to her third son, "you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." I'm sorry, it's Mother's Day. On a serious note, not only should you honor your mother and take care of her physical needs, but you should listen to the wisdom of your mother. All the mother said? Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, our daughter, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Do not forsake it. Don't ignore it. Don't scoff at it. But listen to your mother's teaching. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 again says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." You know, believe it or not, the older you get, the smarter your mother becomes. And all the mother said, amen. You've been there, done that. In Proverbs chapter 15, one more. I hope you're writing these down. "A wise son or daughter makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." What is the scripture teaching us? To listen and to heed what our mothers say. They're not always right, but almost always. But they usually have your best interest in mind. What seems ridiculous to me as a young person, the instruction or the wisdom of my mother seemed erroneous to me, a waste of time, wasn't cool. I found myself saying to my own children when they grew up and urging them to hear the wisdom of my mother. Now, can you say that your peers give you the best advice? Or maybe your broker gives you the best advice? Probably your peers and your stockbroker or investment broker oftentimes gives you the advice that will benefit them as much as it will benefit you, or maybe more. Your boss at work may give you advice so that you'll be more productive for the company. You mean, after all, he doesn't really need you if you're not making the company any money. But your mother, her input into your life comes to you because she loves you and she does have your best interest in mind. We should at least take her motivation into consideration. We'll probably save ourselves a lot of headaches and heartaches if we would just listen and pay attention to what our mothers say or have said to us and respect her. Well, there's one other thing I want to point out to you this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 49. It comes again from the narrative of the New Testament, the gospel narrative, when Jesus was teaching the people, the crowds around him. And he said, while he was speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother, his biological mother, brothers and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my mother and sister and brother. You know, nobody honored their biological mother more than Jesus did. There's no one possible that could have done better than he did. But Jesus considers those who are a part of his spiritual families to be his family, to be his mother and brothers and sisters. Now, this is a family that you need to be a part of. This is a family that is an eternal family. Are you a part of that family? If not, I urge you to consider being. Once you believe in Jesus and receive eternal life through faith in him, then you become a part of his forever family. And there's nothing that could possibly thrill your earthly mother more than you coming to faith in Christ and then her being able to see your life transformed by the power of the gospel. See you loving God and serving God and fully giving yourself to his kingdom's purposes. So on this Mother's Day, I urge you in the name of Jesus to consider that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, though he honored his earthly mother, he laid down his life for the sins of his mother, sacrificing himself for her and for you and for us. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives forevermore. And those of us who have turned away from ourselves and turned to him in faith and received that precious gift of salvation now are part of that eternal family of God. Now, if you're already in the family of God, perhaps you might find ways to minister to your spiritual mothers in more effective ways and more consistent ways. Perhaps there are opportunities that we're missing as a congregation in taking care of our mothers. Can we commit ourselves to doing that? You know, there are many, many women who are members of our church who are unable to come. Think about them. Think of their names. And remember them. Go see them. Give them your time. Give them their honor. See if there's any physical need that you can meet. And then listen to their wisdom. And you'll be blessed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for our sweet mothers. We lift them up to you today, Lord. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to give them strength and life and grace. Help us, Lord, to care for them, to minister to them, to honor them, to love them, give them our time. And Lord, I pray, when I think of my mother, when I think of Darcy's mother, who is already gone and she's there with you in heaven, when I think of them, Lord, I ask you to help us to take good care of our mothers. But Lord, I pray that you would help our mothers to allow us to take care of them. They've been our caregivers all of our lives. Lord, it's hard for them to allow us to minister life and love to them. I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Give them the grace that they need to help, to let us help them when they need help. But Lord, more than all of that, I pray for the young people in our congregation. Those teenagers, those children, those young adults that are so busy and are going through those adolescent years, sometimes they're not as honorable toward our mothers as we should be. Sometimes we're just so self-centered. Sometimes we're just so absorbed in what we are doing and our friends and our activities that we just are hateful to our mothers. I pray, Lord, that you'd put in us today, especially on Mother's Day, a spirit of benevolence toward our mothers, of giving, loving, honoring, caring for our mothers. Lord, I pray for the men in the congregation today, young and old alike, that we'd not take for granted our wives who are the mothers of our children, the grandmothers of our grandchildren. That you would help us, Lord, to be ministers of grace to them. Not just today on Mother's Day, but every day. Help us to man up and do what we need to do. And live with our wives as in understanding ways. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as parents, as mothers and fathers, to raise up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. And to model before them a transformed life. Lord, forgive us for the time that we've already lost and help us to regain the time, to regain the years that the locusts have eaten, so to speak, to recoup, re-energize us, Lord, in our families, as we sang a while ago, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and one of the greatest ways we can serve you, Lord, is to honor our mothers. And to honor one another in our families. And the Lord, again, I pray for those perhaps who've never turned away from their selfishness and their self-centeredness, unawares perhaps, and have yet to receive Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, today that you would open ears and hearts to receive from you the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we pray these things in His name.